Bez Hashem, tonight we'll talk about the topic of vision. How do you visualize your child? What is your image of your child as he is now? Do you see him as a good kid? What's your image of your child as he will be in the future, as a grown-up? Do you see him as a successful person? That's the topic of tonight's discussion. But before we begin the main topic, there are some points that we should address by way of introduction. Someone once asked Rav Moshe Feinstein a question about one of the fundamental concepts of parenting. He asked Rav Moshe, is it better to adopt a stricter approach in parenting or a more easygoing approach? Now, as helpful as it would have been to get guidance from the Pesach Hador about such a fundamental question, the Shoyal, the petitioner, did not get the kind of response that he was hoping for. Rav Moshe's response did not answer the question. Rav Moshe told him that in parenting, there are no hard and fast rules that will tell you what to do in every situation. He did tell him that generally a more easygoing approach will work better than a stricter approach. But ultimately, every situation is different and has to be treated differently. Now let's think for a minute. What did Rav Moshe expect his father to do when he was faced with a question of whether to treat his child more strictly or with a more easygoing attitude? Did he expect him to flip a coin? Heads strict, tails easygoing? I don't think so. He expected him to think for himself. He expected him to use his judgment, his seichel, his common sense. There's a lot that you can learn about parenting by going to a Moreh Derech for guidance. There's a lot that you can learn about parenting from classes and seminars. I certainly hope that you'll learn a lot from our discussions. There's a lot you can learn about parenting from reading books and reading articles. But ultimately, you have to think for yourself. You have to use your seichel to apply whatever lessons you learn to real life situations. I was once talking to a friend about some ideas about parenting. And we were talking about the ideas and approaches recommended by a certain Moreh Derech, an Adam Gadol that people went to for guidance in many areas, including parenting. My friend told me that he doesn't understand why one person that he knows who follows the guidance of this Moreh Derech is having Hatzlacha with his children, and a second person that he knows who also follows the guidance of the same Moreh Derech is not having Hatzlacha with his children. They were both hearing the same Eitzes and getting the same guidance. Why was one having Hatzlacha and the second one not having Hatzlacha? Now, I wasn't bothered by this kasha. You see, I know the second person. And sadly, he's lacking a little bit in Seichel. So it was no wonder to me that even if he's getting the best Eitzes in the world and the best guidance, when it comes to practical application, it's just not going to come out right. You cannot be a successful parent without seichel, and no one can teach you seichel. That's something that you have to provide on your own. Everyone is familiar with what the Brisker Rav would regularly answer to people that asked him what to do to be successful in parenting. He would tell them, Tehillim and Shrarim. He would tell them, you need to daven. And not just stop davening, davening with all your heart and soul. This is a famous Brisker Rav. Everybody knows this Brisker Rav. What is not nearly as well known is another Brisker Rav on parenting. The Brisker Rav's daughter once came home and told her father that she found a girl that she thought he would allow her to become friendly with. That sounds like an odd thing to say. But what was that all about? So the answer is that the Briskerov was very particular about who he let his children become friendly with and who he let them spend time with. It was not a simple matter for his daughter to find someone that her father would approve of as a friend. So she explained to her father that she was passing by Kamenetz Yeshiva, where Rav Elie Lapyan was saying a shmuz. And when she passed by the yeshiva, she saw a girl standing next to a window outside the yeshiva listening to the shmuz. And the girl was standing there listening to the shmuz and crying. This was the girl that she thought that her father would probably approve of as a friend. So the Rav told her to invite the girl to come to the house so that he could see her and judge for himself. So the Rav's daughter invited the girl to the house for a visit. And when she came, they sat and talked for a while. And while they sat and talked, the Rav listened to their conversation from the next room. When she left, the Rav gave his daughter his approval to keep this girl as a friend. Now, let's analyze the story. This is a story that happened with the Briskerov's daughter, Lifsha, the future Rebbetzin Lifsha Feinstein, when they were already living in Eretz Yisrael. At that time, the future Rebbetzin Lifsha was a mature young woman. The Briskerov's Rebbetzin did not escape Europe. From the time the Briskerov arrived in Eretz Yisrael, his daughter Lifsha, a teenager at the time, was the woman of the house. She had been through a lot and she was no longer a child. But even so, we see from this story how careful the Rav was about who he would allow her to associate with. We can safely assume that the Rav had other things to do besides monitoring the conversation of two teenage girls. And yet, the Briskerov invested his precious time and energy in parenting his children. Daven with all our hearts and soul, of course. But if you think that the Briskerov meant that you can rely completely on Tilim and Treren, you're making a mistake, a tragic mistake. It's obvious that the Briskerov held that you are obligated to make significant hishtadlus when it comes to parenting and not just rely on Tilim and Treren. Now we're here to focus on hishtadlus. What do you need to do to fulfill your obligation in hishtadlus in regards to parenting? Sometimes you can go to a class or a drasha about parenting and come away with the impression that as long as you do whatever it was that speaker was talking about, you can be confident that you will be a successful parent and that your children will grow up to be successful and emotionally healthy adults. Or maybe you read a book or an article about parenting and you get this message: do this one thing and you've got it made. This is called the silver bullet theory. Do this one thing right and you will solve all your problems and accomplish all your objectives. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but there is no such thing, at least in regard to parenting. There is no one thing that you can do and be confident that you will be a successful parent. There is no one thing that you can do and then sit back and say, I've done my hishtadlus. There are any one of a number of things about which it is clear that if you did not do one of them, you have not done your hishtadlus. You have to be a good role model for your children. You have to love them, make sure that they know that you love them. You have to help them develop self-esteem. And on. Too many things to list. If you miss any one of these things, you have not done your hishtadlus. You can't pick one of them and say, I'm going to concentrate on this one thing, and that will do the job. You can't say, I'm a good role model. I don't need to bother with the other stuff. They know I love them, and I don't believe in the self-esteem business. Or the other way around, I'm happy to show them love, and I'm ready to do whatever it takes to help them develop self-esteem. But it's too hard for me to always conduct myself in a way that sets a good example for my children. It doesn't work. There are no shortcuts. Now, there's one more point that we need to make before we can go back to our main topic. Everyone needs a Meira Derech for guidance in parenting. There's a lot that you can learn about parenting from classes and seminars. There's a lot that you can learn about parenting from reading books or reading articles. But nothing takes the place of a Meira Derech with whom you have a personal relationship and who you can go to with your questions about parenting. Some people think, I don't have any major problems with my children. Baruch Hashem, everything's going pretty well. And anyway, I don't really have anyone to speak to about this type of thing. And that's if they think about it at all. That's a big mistake. Find someone that you will be comfortable speaking to. It might take some work, but it's doable, and you really need to do it. What are you going to talk about? If you are taking your responsibility as a parent seriously, and you are proactively working hard on being a good parent, you will have what to ask about, even if you are fortunate enough not to have any major problems. It's extremely unlikely that you will not have questions on a fairly regular basis, or at least want to get confirmation that you made the right choices or decisions when handling different situations and issues. So if you don't already have someone, find someone that you can develop a relationship with and will get to know you and your children and start going to him for guidance. Now we can return to tonight's topic, vision. You must have a vision of the successful person that your child can become, and you must truly believe that your child can become that successful person. Why? Why is it so important that you have a vision of your child as a successful adult? I'll answer this question with a mashal. What do you need to do if you want to lose weight? Well, first, you have to eat healthy foods and not eat foods that are unhealthy, foods that just have empty calories. And secondly, you have to exercise. You have to burn more calories than you consume. Two simple rules. We all know these rules. We might not always follow them. But everyone knows that these are the rules to follow if you want to lose weight. But there is another thing that you have to do in order to lose weight. Something that is at least as important, if not more important, than the two rules. You need to have a vision of yourself as being slim and in good shape. If you can't imagine yourself being slim and in good shape, if you don't really believe that you will ever lose weight, then inevitably you'll slip, you'll yield to temptation once, and then a second time, and then no more weight loss program. Think of this vision and this belief as the foundation and the framework for the practical things that you need to do to achieve your objective, which is to eat properly and to do exercise. Experts in the field known as self-improvement discuss this idea extensively. In every area of human endeavor, business, sports, personal and character improvement, if you want to achieve any significant objective, you must have a vision of your successful achievement, and you must also truly believe that you can accomplish that objective. That vision and that belief are the foundation and the framework for all the things that you need to do to achieve your objective. And parenting is no different. The vision that we have of what we expect our children to become is a critical factor in their success. If we want our children to be successful people, we must have a vision of them as successful people, and we must also truly believe that they can become successful people. For example, one of my sons was learning in Eretz Yisrael. After Lag BaOmer, someone I know asked me, "Nu, so was your son in Meron for Lag BaOmer?" I told him that I didn't think my son was in Meron. I told him that I didn't think that my son would go away from the yeshiva in the middle of the Zman to go to Meron. So he responded, telling me, he said, "You think our parents always knew where we were when we were in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael?" So afterwards, I realized that based on his perspective, in Yitzhak Hashem, when his son is old enough to go to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, his expectation is that his son will very possibly leave yeshiva in the middle of the Zman to go to Meron. Now, if that is his expectation, his vision of what his son will be, how likely is it that his son will be the type of boy who doesn't go away from yeshiva in the middle of the Zman to go to Meron? If you would like to have the type of son that doesn't go away from yeshiva in the middle of the Zman to go to Meron, then you must begin with a vision of your son as being that type of boy. And you must truly believe that your son can become that type of boy. That is the foundation and the framework that for all the things that you need to do so that your son can become that type of boy. Here's another example. I was once in the cell phone store, waiting for some help with something. While I was waiting there, I was talking to another person who was also waiting for help. Since we were in the cell phone store, naturally our conversation turned to cell phones. He tells me that he has a phone for his teenage daughter, and he monitors it carefully. She can only use it during certain times. He gets a monthly statement that shows him all the details of how she uses it. He's completely on top of the whole situation. Then he says, "One way or another, they're going to have cell phones. At least this way I know what's going on." I held back from telling him that there is such a thing as a teenage girl that doesn't have a cell phone. If he would not accept it as a foregone conclusion that his daughter will have a cell phone as a teenager, then maybe she wouldn't be the type of girl that's going to have one way or another. So the first step in your hishtadlus as a parent is to have a vision of the successful person that your child can become and to believe in that vision. That's the foundation and the framework for all the things that you need to do so that your child can become that successful person. Now, what should that vision be? A while back, there was a story making the rounds about a father that came through, Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkovich, to ask for a bracha for his son. So Rav Michal Yehuda asked him, "What kind of bracha do you want?" He responded that he wants a bracha that his son should become a Gadol Hador. So Rav Michal Yehuda told him that that's an inappropriate goal, and he refused to give him such a bracha. Now, many people misinterpreted this story. They thought that it meant that Rav Michal Yehuda held that it was wrong for parents to have dreams and aspirations of godless for their children. They thought that Rav Michal Yehuda was saying this because it was too dangerous for a parent to have high expectations that might be too high for their child. Not only is that a mistake, but it's a very bad mistake. You have to have dreams and aspirations of godless for your children. Everybody should have dreams and aspirations of godless for their children. The mistake that the father made when he asked for a bracha was that he asked for a bracha for his son to become a Gadol Hador. The term Gadol Hador is a term that revolves around fame and recognition. Rav Michal Yehuda was not interested in giving a bracha for fame and recognition. The father should have asked for a bracha that his son become a Gadol Hatorah. I believe that if he would have asked for such a bracha, the Rav Michal Yehuda would have happily and wholeheartedly given him such a bracha. The pinnacle of human achievement is for a person to become a Gadol Hatorah. And therefore, that's the ideal for every Jewish boy. When we look at an infant in his cradle, we should visualize the baby, this boy, as growing up to become a Talmud Chacham, a Gadol Hatorah. And we should feel obligated to do whatever is possible to do, whatever is necessary to do to help him fulfill that potential. Most boys, lemaisa, don't actually grow up to become Gedalei Torah. So at some point, for most of our children, we have to change. Our perspective has to change, and we have to develop a more flexible vision. We've all heard the horror stories about children that have been ruined because of unrealistic and krum parental expectations. Rav Volba Zatzal, in his Zviyu Binyan, tells a stereotypical story of a boy that was ruined and ultimately left Yiddishkeit because his father pushed him in a direction that was incompatible with his nature. By pressuring him to learn, instead of allowing him to play and to quote-unquote waste time, the father caused him to completely forsake a life of Torah and Shmiras Mitzvahs. In Rav Volba's words, the father did not allow for the nature of the child. An upbringing like this has devastating results. So, exactly at what point and to what degree our expectations have to change, that's unique to each individual. But we have to accept the idea, the premise, that for many boys, most boys, the perspective has to change. The vision has to become more flexible. Now, it's our responsibility as parents to help our children develop their potential to the maximum capacity, to become the greatest people that they can be. And every child can become great in his own way. I'll explain what I mean by greatness. First, there's personal greatness. In other words, the greatness of a person's character, his midas, his madrega as an Eved Hashem, these things are completely independent of his stature as a Talmud Chacham, of his knowledge as a Talmud Chacham. You don't have to be a big Talmud Chacham. You don't have to be a big Baal Kishrin to be an Eved Hashem, to have good midas, to have a sterling character. Greatness is not reserved for the Mizrachvant. There's plenty of greatness that can be found on the back benches in the Beis Medrash also. That's personal greatness. Another aspect of greatness means doing for others. Doing for other people. Helping other people's lives become better. Helping other people's lives become easier. Making the world a better place. when a person extends himself and goes and stretches himself beyond his natural limit, beyond the point at which he would say, I've done whatever I can, I've reached my limit, I can't do more, I can't go further beyond my comfort zone. When a person goes beyond that point and extends himself and stretches himself and does things for other people, that's greatness. You could think, Tzor Hayamcha Merubim. There's so many things that are needed and that and Klal Yisrael needs, people need. Think about all of the different things, all of the different projects, all of the different programs. Hatzalah and Bikur Chaylim and Timchei Shabbos and Chaveirim and so on and on and on and on. All of this, many, many different things and ways that people do things for other people. That's greatness. Every human being has unique talents and abilities. From Sheshes Yimei Breshes till now, and from now Ad Bias HaGoyel, there is nobody that has the talents and abilities that your child has. Nobody that ever walked the earth, and nobody that ever will walk the earth, that has the unique kaychas that your child has. It's your responsibility as a parent to help your child identify and maximize his unique capabilities to become the best person that he can be and to become great in his own way. What about girls? What should your vision for your daughters be? The same way that the pinnacle of human achievement for a boy is to become a Gadol B'Torah, the pinnacle of human achievement for a girl is to become the Ezer Kenegda of a Gadol B'Torah. But the same way that most boys don't grow up to become a Gadol B'Torah, most girls don't grow up to become the type of woman who would be an appropriate Ezer Kenegda for Gadol B'Torah. So the same way that for a boy, at some point, you have to develop a more flexible vision, for a girl, you need to do the same thing. You also have to develop a more flexible vision. A girl, though, has another aspect, another point, that a girl's primary mission in this world is to be a good wife and a good mother. Without getting into any detail of a discussion of the philosophy behind that, take that as a given, we'll work with that premise. Okay? Now, even if a girl grows up to be the kind of person that is not necessarily ready to have the Mesiris Nefesh that's required to become the wife, or to be the type of girl to be a wife, type of woman to be a wife for a Gadol B'Torah, that does not mean that she should not have the values and the hashkafas that are needed to bring up children that can become Gedolei Torah. So that is a way or an aspect of greatness that a girl can aspire to, that does not necessarily require her to become the type of person that could be an Ezer Kenegda for a Gadol B'Torah. It's an important point to keep in mind. Then, of course, we have the same concept of the personal greatness that we mentioned before. That's true for a woman as well as for a man. Greatness in character, greatness in midas, greatness in Yerushalayim. And it's also true that today there are many ways in our current society, in our Tayridika society, there are many ways that girls can do things, can accomplish significant things outside the home. Whether it's in the arena of chinuch, whether it's in the arena of other things that can be done for the tzibur, for other people, whether it's just in becoming a professional and a business person. Women today can do many, many things and still be within the guidelines and within the world of Tayridika Yiddishkeit. A major challenge that this generation faces is something that would be described as a conveyor belt syndrome. A child can go into cheder today when he's 5 and end up in kollel when he's 25 and never know how he got there. Goes to cheder, goes to mesifta, goes to beis medrash, goes to Eretz Yisrael, to yeshiva, comes back, gets married, and he never actually made a decision about his life path, about what he's going to do with his life. It's on a conveyor belt. A conveyor belt is not the path to true greatness. To true greatness, you have to have two things to save you from the conveyor belt trap. One thing is that you have to know and understand what your purpose is in life. You have to. A child has to learn that he has a purpose in life, that he's here on this world for a reason, and that there's goals and objectives for him to accomplish as a yid. That's number one. Number two, he has to develop in his character the midah of having drive. I don't know how to describe that midah, but the idea of having a drive, being self-motivated, that a person pushes himself to do things and to accomplish things. These are the two things that you need to be saved from the conveyor belt syndrome, and that the two things that you need to help your child develop so that your child does not become a victim of the conveyor belt syndrome. Now, we've been talking until this point about the big picture. The idea of vision applies to every stage of a child's development also. When a child is 5 years old, you have to have a vision of a child being a successful 5-year-old. Age appropriate, of course. What does a successful 5-year-old mean? A child that has the proper level of maturity for a 5-year-old, a child that has already begun to learn basic concepts of midas tovus, sensitivity for other people, the awareness of other people's needs, at a very simple level, of course. Basics of social interaction, development of skills, all appropriate for a 5-year-old. When he's 10 years old, that vision needs to expand to include being successful in school as a student, and then also the maturity and the midas and the character that are all appropriate for a 10-year-old. And when he's 15, for a 15-year-old, and so on. The big picture view That's the background. But on that background, on that, painted on that canvas, so to speak, if you want to think of it in a poetic way, painted on that canvas, you have also the short-term vision of the for the child at each stage of his development, of being successful at each stage of his development. The way you perceive your child is virtually guaranteed to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think of your child as a good boy, if you think your child as a good girl, that's what they'll be. He'll be a good boy and she'll be a good girl. If you think of your child as quote-unquote a bad child, then that's what they'll be. That's what they'll become. There are actually some interesting studies that were done. One by some Harvard professors. And what they did was, this goes back to the 1960s. They took two similar groups of elementary school children. And they labeled one of them as being gifted. They actually took their locker numbers, which were numbers in the 120s. And they told the teachers that those were the IQ scores of these children, of the gifted children. They said, these are the gifted children, and these are the children that are not so gifted. And lo and behold, what happened? By the end of the year, the children that they had labeled as gifted were being very successful, and the children that they had labeled as not gifted were not doing well in school. The teachers' expectations of what the students could accomplish set the pattern for what they actually accomplished and how the students performed. There's another story about someone named Henry Gradillas, who was a biology teacher. And what he did was that he took two groups of students and he divided them into two different classes. One group he told that they were college material, and they had the potential to accomplish great things. And the other group, he told them, you guys are problem kids, you're lazy, you're difficult, and we're going to have to deal with you accordingly. The quote-unquote gifted group, the so-called gifted group, he gave more difficult tests to them, gave them additional homework. And the second group, he gave them the minimum amount of work necessary for the subject. After a quarter of the year, he gave the gifted group a college level test. And they were successful with it. The second group, he gave a regular test. Only one child managed to get an A. The rest of them got D's and F's. That was at the quarter point of the year. He spent the rest of the year trying to get the group on back on track, and he was unable to do it. And there was no difference between the two groups. Okay, so it's a couple of interesting stories, but the point of it is that your children will be what you expect them to be. There's a disturbing trend that has become more pronounced in recent years, or at least that's what it seems to me. Much of the discussion about parenting, whether it's in books, in magazine articles, seminars, asifas, it's all about problems and challenges that we face today. And whatever the topic is, there always seems to be an acceptance and an expectation that there's going to be a problem, and then the discussion is how to solve the problem. An example of that is the story of the father in the cell phone store. It says, one way or another, they're going to have a cell phone. We need to spend more energy on avoiding problems rather than having to solve the problems after they've landed on our heads. We all know that there are children that are not struggling with the issues that everybody's talking about. Whether it's cell phones, skirt lengths, leaving yeshiva in the middle of the zman to go to Meron, there are some children for whom these issues are not a struggle. The first step in avoiding these problems for our children is to visualize our children as not being caught up in these problems. Now, we can't fool ourselves, but we can take an approach and start off with an expectation that our children will be successful. I'll give you an example. Peer pressure. Everyone knows peer pressure is a major problem, right? But why not take the approach that we can just completely transcend the problem and avoid it completely? Why not take the approach that we can bring up our children not to be the ones that are going to feel compelled to follow whatever trend and whatever fad is going on, or to follow the leader in whatever direction the leaders and the groups that are going? Why not bring up our children so that our children will be the leaders? And our children will be the ones that the other children will want to follow and be like, in a good way. It can be done. But it has to start with a vision of your child as being a successful child and becoming a successful person. The Netziv wrote a sefer on Shiltas the Rebbe Chai Goyen called Emek She'ela. When the Netziv finished this sefer, he made a suda to celebrate the accomplishment, and at that suda he spoke, and this is what he said. He said, told over the story that as a young boy, he was not being matzliach in his learning. And he described how one day he overheard his parents talking, and he heard them saying, "What's going to be with Herr Schleip? He's not being successful in his learning. He's not being matzliach in his learning. What are we going to do?" And he heard them saying, "Maybe we should forget about the learning and send him to become an apprentice by a shoemaker. He'll learn a trade, and at least he'll have a parnasa. He'll have what to do." The Netziv said that when he heard his parents saying that, he was very shaken. And from that point, he applied himself seriously to his learning. And that was the point where he started being matzliach in his learning. The Netziv said, he says, imagine if I would have become a shoemaker. He says, okay, so I would have become a shoemaker. And I would have lived my life as a shoemaker, and then Lachamev Esrim, they would have made a levaya for me, and they would have said a hesped. And what would they say in the hesped? They'll say, "Herr Schleip was a shoemaker. He was an elocha person. You came to him to get a pair of shoes. He treated you honestly. He gave good value. You paid him your money. He gave you a good pair of shoes. He never cheated anybody. He was an elocha yid. He went to shul every day. After he finished work, he came and listened to an Ein Yankov shir." That's what they would have said about Herr Schleip, the shoemaker. He says, what do you think would have happened? He says, when I came in Shemayim, he says, okay, I would have come in Shemayim, and they would have asked me, where's the Emek Shelo? He says, well, what would I answer? Emek Shelo? What's the Emek Shelo? Emek Shelo? What do you mean Emek Shelo? Emek Shelo, the safe front, Shultz of Rechai Goyen. Shultz of Rechai Goyen? What's Shultz of Rechai Goyen? I wouldn't know what they're talking about. He says, they would have mourned me. You could have been the Netziv. You could have become a God of a Torah. You could have become a Marbitz Torah. You could have been Maimed Talmidim. You could have written Svarim on Shultz of a High Goyen. Very nice, you're a shoemaker, you're an Elachayid, but you did not fulfill your potential. It is our obligation to help every one of our children to fulfill their potential to the greatest extent possible.